Hello and welcome to Inside Your County Government, a podcast that brings you an inside look at the people and events in and around county government that shape our Charles County. I'm your host, Brent Huber. This is our second episode where we're going inside our Department of Community Services housing program to learn about inspections and the housing quality standards. Welcome. In a previous episode with the housing program, we talked about the Housing Choice Voucher Lottery, and the questions about inspections came up. So joining me today is Jim Smith, Housing Inspector Supervisor with the Department of Community Services Housing Program. Jim, welcome.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
So let's start right from the beginning. What does an inspector do for the housing program?
Well, what we do for the Housing Choice Voucher Program is we inspect the properties to make sure they're safe and clean and in compliance with the HUD regulation. Myself and the other inspector, Joe Benzing, were the only two inspectors for the county, for Charles County.
So there's a set of standards that are, you know, that are handed down, I assume, by HUD, since you said HUD. What are those standards?
They're called housing quality standards, and they're the requirements that HUD wants us to enforce for the Choice Voucher Program. They have their own standards. It's housing quality standards is basically how we inspect the properties, what to look for, and what to write up as a deficiency if it's not in compliance with their rules and regulations.
Now, these standards, they apply to both the tenant and the owner of the property, correct?
Yes, they do. Yeah, the tenant basically, when they're living in a Choice Voucher property, they have to keep it clean. They can't damage it. They can't bring people in that are on the lease. And on the other hand, the owners have to keep their end of it up, you know, keep the maintenance up and keep everything that they own on the property, like the heating system, hot water heaters, things like that. So both the tenant and the landlord do have responsibilities once the tenant moves in the property.
Now, when a landlord or an owner makes a property available to the voucher program, I'm sure there's a process that they go through to make their property eligible. Do you do any type of pre-inspection to that property in order to kind of certify it for Housing Choice Voucher?
No, we don't do a pre-inspection, but the way the process is, the tenant would get issued their voucher. They would go on their search for a property to live in. Once they found one that they'd like to live in and the owner's willing to participate with the Choice Voucher Program, then they would submit the paperwork back to the housing counselor. The housing counselor would request the inspection, and at that point, we would go out and inspect the property for, they call that an initial move-in inspection. And we would basically do the same inspection as we normally would under housing quality standards, to make sure that the property's, you know, clean and safe and there's no hazards to the family and it's in compliance with HUD regulations.
Okay, and then the tenant moves in, and is there another inspection once the tenant moves in?
Yeah, we're on about an 11-month cycle, so about every 11 months we'll go out and do the annual inspection. Now, the biggest difference between the initial move-in inspection and the annual inspection, the initial move-in inspection is normally vacant. The owner would be required to make any necessary repairs that we find that are needed, and then the tenant would move in. Now, once the tenant moves in the property, there's items that the tenant would be responsible for. So if there's anything that the tenant damaged or normal wear and tear items like smoke detector batteries, we would assign that to the tenant. Or if there's any deficiencies that we feel that the tenant caused, that would be assigned to the tenant. Other items that are normal wear and tear items would be assigned to the landlord as just a normal property maintenance issue.
Okay, well, let me throw this out there because it did kind of come up in the previous podcast, and there's a stigma about tenants and the Housing Choice Voucher, but it's really just a stigma because, I mean, the responsibility is to keep these homes, their living conditions, within a set of standards. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit about, you know, maybe a little bit about that stigma and how it might be misunderstood about the program? I mean, because there's a lot that goes into this, especially with the inspections.
So you're probably hearing people say that Section 8 tenants tear their house up, do damages, things like that, which I've heard. I've been with the county for 23 years, and I've heard that endlessly. But I'll tell you what, we have a very strong enforcement policy with the Housing Authority here in Charles County. We do try to keep everything in compliance with HUD regulations. And the majority of the people at this time take very good care of the property. Now, there is times where we go out and they're not so good. We would give the tenant a chance to make the necessary repairs within 30 days of a reinspection. So we do try to work with the tenants and keep everything in compliance. But in the past, there were issues with tenant damages to their property, and then they would walk away from the property. But right now, I'll give you an example. I did an initial move-in inspection today with a lady. And now, one thing I didn't touch on, they can also have a lease in place initial inspection, which means the tenant was living at the property. They chose to stay there. The owner said that they would participate with the Choice Voucher Program. I did one today. A house looks like Better Homes and Gardens. I mean, wow. It's spotless. And we do run into a lot of that with a lot of our tenants. They take very good care of the properties. Now, I'll be honest with you, every once in a while, we do have problems where tenants go in and do damages. Now, the biggest issue is that, you know, a tenant can do a lot of damages in 11 months before we get out there, so the owners need to do the property management. A lot of the owners think since they put it on the program, we're going to manage their property, and that's not the case. They need to go out there every 2 or 3 months, and they can put that in their lease to do basically a walkthrough to see how they're taking care of it. And they have a couple choices. If they see any damages to their property or any abuse or whatever, they can either address it themselves to the tenant, or they can call us up and we'll intervene and help them out with that.
So it's really in the best interest of the tenant and even to some extent the owner, because if you're not taking care of this property, you could lose access to the program. Is that true?
Yes. A tenant can be terminated for property damage, noncompliance of housing quality standards, amongst other things. But it's beneficial to the tenant to take care of the property and follow all the rules and regulations of HUD.
So what you're saying is that the property owner can, you know, do their routine inspections, and if they find, you know, some things that might be questionable, they can go back to the housing program, back to you, the inspections, and you'll address those and address their concerns, correct?
On their behalf? they can do what we call a owner complaint inspection. Mm-hmm. And basically on that, in that scenario, if they went and they saw, say, damages, holes punched in the wall, whatever, they can call me up and say, look, I didn't want to confront this tenant, but this is what they're doing. Then what we would do, we would schedule an unannounced inspection, which means we would not give the tenant any time to let us know we're coming. And we would just knock on the door and request access to the property to do the complaint inspection.
And that's all part of being in the program. I mean, they kind of know that there's a potential for that to come.
Right? They know that. Yeah. Now the whole key with that is, you know, we can go in, but it still has to be in violation of housing quality standards. Mm-hmm. You know, if I went in there and there was issues that didn't have anything to do with housing quality standards, of course, I couldn't write it up as a deficiency violation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the other hand, the tenant can also, if they're in a house and they've requested repairs from the owner, and the owner doesn't comply, the tenant can request a tenant complaint inspection. We'll go over on behalf of the tenant to see what's going on. And again, if it violates housing quality standards, then we can issue a deficiency violation.
So there's really a two-way street. I mean, the tenant has responsibilities and rights, and the owner has responsibility and rights. And, you know, as part of the inspections, you help negotiate that and make sure that everything is done, you know, the way it's supposed to be done.
Exactly. And best case scenario is, you know, a tenant would call in a repair, the owner would come out and fix it without getting us involved. You know, it's sort of a partnership between the tenant and the landlord. It's really good when you have a good partnership where they get along. You know, the tenant basically takes care of the house and the landlord takes care of repairs and any issues the tenant may have. And that way we do not have to get involved with it. When I do an inspection, my best case scenario is to go out and pass the inspection. Everything's in compliance. And I come back to a housing authority.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about this. You've been 23 years, is that what you said?
Yes.
What's your take on the program? I mean, this is it's a lot bigger than I realized after talking with Jeremy.
Well, the program's an excellent program. We help a lot of people. And there's a lot of people in need, because another stigma is that, you know, people on the program don't want to work. They don't. They all they want to do is sit back and collect from the government. And that's not true. We have a lot of single moms that have jobs, and they have two or three children, and they're out there working, taking care of the house. And, you know, there's a lot of people in need out there. Actually, we could double the program size and still accommodate people that really need housing. It's a really good program. We, like I said, we try to make everybody comply with the regulations. We do the job that the HUD requires us to do, and it really works. I mean, for the majority of the people on the program, everything flows really well, and you really never should get terminated from the program. It's a very easy program, with the rules and everything to follow. And as long as you follow the rules, you'll stay on the program, and they can basically stay on forever.
Right, and that was one of the things that came up. This isn't really like it's not a starter program. It doesn't lead you to owning your own home or anything like that. But the one thing that it does do is it allows people that are in a position where money is tight and things are difficult for them to really have something to help them move forward.
Exactly. And actually, we do have a home ownership program where if they say have a job, they have to have a certain amount of income and be on the program, I believe at least a year. They could go into a home of their own, and HUD will help subsidize the mortgage for them to live in that home, I believe, for 15 years. And wow. Then after the 15 years, the home's theirs.
So that's another program that the housing program offers.
Yeah, and we would go out and do the initial inspection prior mm-hmm. to the tenant moving in, and to make sure it's, again, safe, clean housing and in compliance with HUD. The only difference is after the people purchased the property and moved in, we wouldn't go out and do annual inspections.
Right.
We would just do the first initial, unless there's problems out there.
Right, right. So just kind of to sum all this up, Jim, and I really thank you for taking time out. How important are these inspections to the actual program?
Well, I think they're extremely important, to the program, because we have a lot of good landlords also. We have guys out there that as soon as somebody calls up, they fix the problems. Then we have some landlords that the only time they fix things is if we write a violation. So I think our job, we keep everything on an even keel. We try to be very fair with everybody. And I think it shows, because the properties in the communities, aren't dilapidated or they're not run down. You can't, drive like through a subdivision and say, well, that's a Section 8 property, because the best case scenario is a tenant moves in a neighborhood and just blends in. Nobody knows anything other than they're renting a home.
And I think that's the whole goal of the program is to provide the homes for the people that need the homes or the living space. Yeah.
And like I said, we could actually use more homes on the program, because there's still a lot of people in need out there that we would like to help.
And that all comes down to grant money.
Yes, most definitely. We're at HUD's mercy.
Yes, which comes down to the census, which we talked a little bit about last time. So yeah. I hope everybody had filled out their census, because that means there's more in the pot for Charles County.
Yeah, I mean, I wish we had enough homes that I could hire four more inspectors. That way we could accommodate a lot of needy people.
Oh, that would be really good. Really
yes.
good. Yes. Awesome.
Yeah, between myself and Joe Benzing, the other inspector, we did about 1,400 inspections last year.
Wow. That's a lot of inspections.
Yeah, we keep busy.
Yeah. And COVID has kind of, changed the way you do things too, hasn't it?
Yeah, we wear a lot more safety equipment. Like, for instance, now when we go in houses, prior to us going in, we'll call and pre-screen, ask questions if you've been sick, have been in contact with COVID-19, things like that. Then once we get to the house, we wear rubber gloves, N95 face mask, and safety glasses. Mm-hmm. And in between every inspection, of course, we change out the gloves and everything to be safe. And, we don't want to cross-contaminate and bring any kind of anything to the next tenant, especially the elderly complexes. We go in, we try to do those first so we can be in and out of them and then go to other houses. But we're really trying to be careful to safeguard all the people on the program, and plus back at the office here too. So we have a lot of things we're doing now that we haven't done in the past, but it's working fine so far.
Well, that's good. Yeah. It's all about improvising and adapting today.
That's exactly right. And we have done that.
So if somebody has some questions about the program or questions about inspections, can they reach out to you?
They can call me at area code 301-934-0122, and that'll be a direct line to my office phone. I do have voicemail, and I do check it regularly. So if any of your listeners have any questions, I'd feel more than free to accommodate them with any type of answers I can do for them.
Awesome. Very good. Jim, it was great to have you. Great to talk with you about this incredible program and all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes that you really don't think about, but is absolutely critical to the program.
That's correct. There's a lot. We do have a lot of hardworking people at housing, and we do a lot of hard work here to keep the program, afloat.
Wonderful, wonderful program and wonderful things that you do. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. And that's all we have for this episode. And we will talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. Remember, you can find more great podcasts online at charlescountymd.gov/podcast. Like this episode? Then head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. We can be found under Charles County Government.